Stay tuned for Africa News Tonight, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Bob Doty reporting. Delegates to a special UN session are urging a more vigorous global response to stop the terrorist threat posed by the militant group, Nigerian group Boko Haram. They say the group still presents a serious danger despite recent military setbacks. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Zeid Ra'ad Al Hussein said the appalling atrocities committed by Boko Haram have created a human rights crisis, resulting in at least 15,000 deaths since 2009 in northern Nigeria and the Lake Chad region.
Countless more children, women, and men have been abducted, abused, and forcibly recruited, and women and girls have been targeted for particularly horrific abuse, including sexual enslavement. Boko Haram's leaders must know that they will be held accountable in a court of law for these appalling violations of human rights.
Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Meanwhile, Nigerian President-elect Muhammadu Buhari says his government will spare no effort to defeat insurgent group Boko Haram. Mr. Buhari spoke in Abuja Wednesday, a few hours after Nigeria's Electoral Commission officially named him the winner of the presidential election. An explosion at a dairy in western Yemen killed at least 35 people Wednesday, but the cause of the blast had not been determined. There were conflicting reports on whether Saudi-led airstrikes or anti-government fighters were responsible. Officials and witnesses said coalition airstrikes hit near the dairy early Wednesday in the port city of Hodeida. Others reported rebel shelling also hitting the area. The United Nations said 93 civilians were killed, 364 wounded in the first 5 days. This is VOA News. Nuclear talks in Switzerland between six world powers and Iran have entered overtime after missing a deadline for a framework deal. But Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif sounded upbeat after a long day of marathon talks wrapped up late Tuesday night.
We have accomplished quite a bit. But people needed to get some rest and start over early in the morning and hopefully start the process of drafting tomorrow.
Diplomats said earlier that differences remain on such issues as restricting uranium enrichment research, how fast sanctions against Iran will be lifted, and what to do if Iran violates the deal. The United States and its so-called P5+1 partners, Britain, China, France, Russia, and Germany, want Iran to cut its uranium enrichment to prevent it from being able to build a nuclear bomb. In exchange, sanctions that have destroyed the Iranian economy would be lifted. U.S. President Barack Obama has lifted an 18-month weapons freeze on Egypt, prompting criticism from those concerned about rights abuses committed by the longtime Washington ally. The move clears the way for delivery of 12 F-16 aircraft, 20 Harpoon missiles, and up to 125 M1A1 Abrams tanks that have been held from the Egyptian military following a popularly backed coup. The aid was suspended in October 2013 in response to the Egyptian military's overthrow of former President Mohamed Morsi. U.S. President Barack Obama authorized new economic sanctions Wednesday on cyber attackers, a move aimed mostly at penalizing foreign individuals and state-owned companies that have targeted key American businesses and consumers. Sanctions are aimed at cyber attackers who are significantly harming or compromising critical U.S. computer systems. The chief executive of German airline Lufthansa says it will take a long, long time to determine exactly what led a co-pilot to crash a jetliner into the French Alps, killing all 150 people on board. Lufthansa CEO Carsten Spohr paid his respects to the victims Wednesday at the site of the March 24 Germanwings crash in southeastern France.
I think I speak for everybody in Lufthansa that there's not a single hour where we don't think about this terrible accident, the victims, and the relatives and friends of these victims.
Lawmakers in Arkansas approved legislation aimed at protecting religious freedom Tuesday. Under the respective measures, the state would grant the same religious rights to private corporations that it does to individuals, which critics say could legally protect businesses that refuse to serve gays and lesbians on the grounds that doing so would violate the business's religious beliefs. I'm Bob Doty in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehiz Wuhib, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight.
Unity, stability and progress of our dear country is more important than anything else.
That's VOA Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan conceding defeat in yesterday's national elections.
President Obama has congratulated Nigerian President-elect Buhari and the Nigerian people following the outcome of the presidential elections. And Niger's President Muhammadu Issoufou says the end is near for Nigeria's militant group, Boko Haram.
We'll have these stories, plus lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour, Nigeria woke up to a new president-elect today, Muhammadu Buhari. But people say democracy is the real winner as the country embarks on its first peaceful handover of power since the end of military rule in 1999. VOA's Anne Look reports from Abuja.
Celebrations erupted before final results were even announced. It was game over for the People's Democratic Party, which has monopolized Nigerian politics for 16 years. President Goodluck Jonathan conceded and called for peace.
Unity, stability and progress of our dear country is more important than anything else.
Mr. Buhari saluted his opponent's statesmanship and congratulated Nigerians. One-party rule is over, he said.
We have proven to the world that we are people who have embraced democracy and are people who seek a government, who seek a government by for.
The fourth time was the charm for this ex-military ruler and longtime presidential candidate. The vote is being praised as Nigeria's freest and most transparent yet, despite logistical delays and technical issues at the polls. The opposition united in 2013, forming the All Progressives Congress. The party pledged change amid unfettered corruption, near constant power cuts, and a sinking oil-dependent economy. APC supporters started gathering at party headquarters Tuesday in Abuja, waiting for Mr. Buhari as results were being announced.
He will turn the country around, we know that, but it's going to take time because the country is in a state of complete decay. So we are not under any illusion that there is a miracle going to happen straight away.
As Mr. Buhari takes office, the Boko Haram insurgency rages on in the northeast. It intensified dramatically on Mr. Jonathan's watch. Thousands of civilians have been killed, more than a million displaced. Borno State has been the most affected. That state's results were the last to come in. A new era is about to be Borno, tweeted one Nigerian. The APC dominated the north in this vote and scored key victories in the southwest, a stark change from the last PDP win in 2011. Kano, the largest city in the north, partied into the night. People cheered as drivers spun their cars around a roundabout. There was giddiness and a sense of empowerment in the streets. People danced. They jumped up and down. In Abuja, they chanted and sang Father, Father in Hausa. But they also said they want results, and they will let Mr. Buhari know how he's doing in 4 years at the next election. Anne Look, VOA News, Abuja.
Thank you, Anne. Well, the atmosphere in Nigeria is calm today after President Goodluck Jonathan conceded defeat, thanking all Nigerians for the opportunity to lead them. In Abuja, Independent National Electoral Commission Chairman Atahiro Jega presented 72-year-old President-elect Muhammadu Buhari of the All Progressives Congress Party with a certificate declaring him the official winner of the presidential election. The outgoing president said he kept his promise for a free and fair election. He appealed to anyone who does not like the outcome to follow due process under the Constitution and election laws. Peter Cloti is in Abuja with the latest developments and more reaction to the election.
General Muhammadu Buhari, the president-elect of Nigeria, got his letter of certification from the INEC chairman, Professor Tahiru Jiga, this afternoon at the International Conference Center here in Abuja. And he promised to work together with outgoing President Goodluck Jonathan for a smooth transition process. He said the message Nigerians have passed to him is loud and clear, and that is going to make sure that Nigerians are safe, Boko Haram will be defeated, and that the direction of the country will change.
Did he give any indications or anything specific at this point in terms of how the country will be changing?
Well, he said number one thing is that there will be a thorough investigation of the government to ensure that those who have committed various forms of financial malfeasance will be dealt with, and that the outgoing president has nothing to fear, and that he is determined to reconcile the country, but that economic policies will change, and that he intends to improve the living conditions of Nigeria.
Also, Peter, I understand you had a chance to speak with a U.S. State Department person there in Abuja. What did she have to say about the elections?
Well, the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State to Africa, Ambassador Linda Thomas-Green, said that the relationship between Washington and Abuja will continue, and that the relationship between the two countries have gone on for a long while, and the partnership with Nigeria will continue to progress, and that the United States will continue to partner the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, to strengthen its capacity to administer credible elections from this election that was just organized and the upcoming one, which is the gubernatorial election. So she was very positive about the relationship between Washington and Abuja going forward.
That was our colleague Peter Cloti. He spoke with me from Abuja, Nigeria.
President Obama has congratulated Nigerian President-elect Buhari and the Nigerian people following the outcome of the presidential elections. He says Nigeria has shown it is dedicated to democratic principles. Mr. Obama commended General Buhari and outgoing President Jonathan for their public commitments to nonviolence. He also praised Mr. Jonathan for placing his country's interests first by conceding the election and congratulating President-elect Buhari. Also, U.S. State Department spokesperson Julius Stryker issued a statement yesterday on Nigeria's election.
We congratulate the people of Nigeria who exercised their civic duty by going to the polls. We would especially like to commend the patience voters demonstrated and their commitment to participate in the democratic process. We also have been heartened by the consensus on the part of the independent international observers that the elections were largely free, fair, and transparent, with only isolated disruptions due to violence and technical challenges.
That's U.S. State Department spokesperson Julia Stryker.
Well, they were not able to vote in their country's presidential and parliamentary elections, but the Nigerian diaspora have been watching developments in the West African nation very closely as they celebrate their newest leader. VOA's Mariama Diallo in Washington spoke to a few of them.
We're so happy right now, and I can't even walk right now.
Olayemi Faluzi is an attorney in the Washington, D.C. area. He says he's overjoyed about the results of his country's presidential election. He told VOA, Nigeria's democracy has really matured this week.
This is amazing. I'm elated right now. we were stuck on TV watching it, following it step by step. This is the beginning of a new era, beginning of a new dawn, basically. What just happened is monumental. It's a big and a very fact that for the past 50 years in our history, the opposition party has never won against an incumbent party.
He was supporting neither President Goodluck Jonathan nor President-elect Muhammadu Buhari, but hopes the new leader can address his two concerns.
I'm very ashamed to be a Nigerian in this day and age, in a country that calls itself the giant of Africa, where we do not have a constant electricity. Electricity is... it's like a air that you breathe in. Your economy cannot grow without that. Number two, trying to make a reduction in corruption. It's very hard to get zero corruption. But if we can reduce it, I will consider his administration a successful administration.
Omolola Adeleosho is the executive director and co-founder of Act for Accountability, an organization that's been very active in the fight against finding the missing Chibok girls in Nigeria.
We are excited because it is the showing of what civil society has actually been able to do, of educating people about their voting rights and seeing a large turnout of people who have been glued and also making sure that their votes did count. It's actually the first time we've actually had a televised count of the electoral vote.
She hopes that moving forward, President-elect Buhari can be held accountable to his campaign promises as well.
And actually, I think that the first thing that they need to do is really take a step back and reassess the rescue of the missing Chibok girls and all the individuals that have been kidnapped by Boko Haram.
Yvonne Idahosa is another lawyer in the U.S. She's also an advocate for the rights of women and girls in Nigeria.
My overwhelming sentiment is one of pride. It's comforting to know that Nigerians have been able to do what a lot of people said could not be done in Nigeria, and which is to have the voice of the people heard.
Idahosa had actually supported the only female candidate in the election and hopes that Mr. Buhari, after he assumes power at the end of May, follows through on what he indicated in his platform by focusing on national security and prioritizing the average Nigerian person and not the elite. In Washington, Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Meanwhile, delegates to a special UN session are urging a more vigorous global response to stop the terrorist threat posed by the militant Nigerian group Boko Haram. They say the group still presents a serious danger despite recent military setbacks. Lisa Schlein reports from the 43-member UN Human Rights Council in Geneva.
In opening the meeting, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Zaid Raad Al-Hussein said the appalling atrocities committed by Boko Haram have created a human rights crisis, resulting in at least 15,000 deaths since 2009 in northern Nigeria and the Lake Chad region.
Countless more children, women, and men have been abducted, abused, and forcibly recruited. And women and girls have been targeted for particularly horrific abuse, including sexual enslavement. This despicable and wanton carnage, which constitutes a clear and urgent menace for development, peace and security, must be stopped. Boko Haram's leaders must know that they will be held accountable in a court of law for these appalling violations of human rights.
Zaid said intensified incursions by the group into neighboring Cameroon, Chad, and Niger have spread bloodshed and desolation. He said responses to these massive violations must be strong, coordinated, and principled. Former Burundian president and the current high representative of the African Union for Mali and the Sahel, Pierre Boyoya, spoke about AU efforts to combat Boko Haram. Speaking through an interpreter, he said the bloc is seeking to promote cooperation on security because no country alone can face the threat posed by the militants.
This terrorist group is more than a regional threat. It is a global threat. Its recent declaration of allegiance to the Islamic State can only confirm this. Hence, combating this group and its allies must be the goal of the international community as a whole.
Permanent Secretary of Nigeria's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Danjuma Nanpom Sheni, called Boko Haram a faceless monster that is a major threat to peace, security, and freedom, though he acknowledged the group has taken a major hit on the battlefield this year.
With the cooperation of the international community, including the four most affected countries, and progress has been achieved. More than four-fifths of the territories seized by Boko Haram were taken within the last 6 weeks.
Ambassador Cheney said the election of a new president in Nigeria and other successes are an indication of what can be achieved when countries work together in the fight against terrorism. The session began with tributes honoring Somalia's ambassador to Switzerland, Yusuf Bari Bari, who was slain Friday in a terrorist attack on a hotel in Mogadishu by al-Shabaab militants. Several speakers expressed regret and sadness at the death of a man they described as a staunch defender of human rights. High Commissioner Zaid decried what he called the senseless death of a good man whose life was cut short by a vicious terrorist attack. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Niger's President Mahamudu Issoufou says the end is near for Nigeria's militant group Boko Haram. While visiting the U.S., he spoke to VOA's French to Africa service. Issoufou says while the group has not been eradicated, it has been greatly weakened following the military support given to Nigeria by Niger, Cameroon, and Chad. The president of Niger calls on the UN to give financial and logistical support to countries fighting Boko Haram. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiz Wuhib, 21 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. President Obama has congratulated Nigerian President-elect Buhari and the Nigerian people following the outcome of the presidential elections. And Niger's president says the end is near for Nigeria's militant group, Boko Haram, and would like to hear your thoughts on our stories. You can write to us at Africa News Tonight, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue, Southwest Washington, D.C., 20237.
Around the continent, in Guinea, a presidential spokesman says the refusal of some citizens to accept the existence of Ebola is slowing efforts to end the outbreak. He says the problem has caused health officials to lose a lot of time in the lingering days of the more than year-long outbreak. He says police stationed outside Conakry had recently intercepted two bodies hidden under baggage. He also says families in the town of Koya near Conakry had refused to identify people who had been in contact with an infected person. Meanwhile, at least 12 people believed to have been in contact with an Ebola patient have apparently left the capital suburb of Matoto. Mr. Conde announced on Saturday an emergency measure enabling authorities to restrict movements in Western Guinea in a bid to stem transmission of the disease. In the U.S., five health workers being monitored for the Ebola virus developed no symptoms in 21 days, so they've been released by a Nebraska hospital. They were evacuated from Sierra Leone after having contact with a colleague who contracted the virus. That infected health worker is in fair condition in a Maryland hospital.
A 15-year campaign is being launched to eradicate an often fatal livestock disease. PPR, or small ruminant plague, has spread to 70 countries in Africa, the Middle East, and South and East Asia, and now poses a threat to Europe. The campaign was announced at an international conference in Ivory Coast's capital, Abidjan. VOA's Jody Kapawa reports.
PPR, or peste petite ruminante, primarily attacks sheep and goats. The viral disease was first diagnosed in Abidjan in 1942. Initially, it was called goat plague. The disease causes high fever, rapid emaciation, and respiratory failure. It causes up to $2 billion in animal losses each year. Juan Lubroth is the UN Food and Agriculture Organization's chief veterinary officer.
Well, we see with Peste Petit Ruminant, or PPR, several continents are affected by this disease. And we do see that sheep and goats, or goats at least, are often referred to as the poor person's cow. So if you are a poor farmer or in poor communities, the role of sheep and goats is very, very important.
The FAO says PPR kills up to 90% of the animals it infects if they are not vaccinated. The disease has not posed a risk to human health, but can devastate human livelihoods and affect food security.
With PPR, if we were able to eliminate this threat of a quality product that provides excellent nutrition, vitamins, micronutrients, quality protein to complement crop-based diets, that would be very, very important.
Lubroth says there are similarities between PPR and Rinderpest, the only animal disease to have been eradicated.
The viruses belong to the same family. Some of the tools that were developed for Rinderpest have actually been adapted to be used for Peste Petit Ruminant. Other aspects of the Rinderpest campaign were regional networks that became so important to implement the strategy. Well, the same will be done for Peste Petit Ruminant. So certainly there are a lot of lessons that could be learned from that.
Another lesson, he says, is to have enough funds on hand to start and finish the job. The FAO is joining forces with OIE, the World Organization for Animal Health, in launching the campaign to eradicate PPR. The strategy has three components.
The first one is focused on PPR, sheep and goats, the vaccine, understanding the value chains to be able to target the approach. The second component is looking at strengthening the veterinary services. And the third component looks at other priority diseases that would be important for a country or a region that could be tackled together with PPR.
Representatives of the affected countries, donors, NGOs, and the scientific community are attending the FAO and OIE International Conference for the Control and Eradication of PPR. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. Stay tuned for Straight Talk Africa with Shaka Sali, coming up at 18:30 UTC. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at www.voaafrica.com. And on behalf of our Africa News Tonight producer, Kwame Ofori, and our engineer, Kelvin Fowler, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we continue in-depth election coverage as part of Voice of America's Nigeria Decides 2015 special programming. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests
as they give post-election analysis on the major issues surrounding the vote and its leader for the next 4 years. That's next time on VOA.